Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joysters, it is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9, your favourite show all about pets. My name's Kevin, and joining me in the studio this week is Lost Dogs Home Senior Veterinarian from the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Alan Bolton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Alan. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been a long time.
Now, Alan, you're looking like you're a bit full of cake today.
Well, yes. Apparently it's... It is Vet Nurse Day.
You've been celebrating.
We did. Lots of cake, lots of chocolate, morning tea before we came here to say thank you to all the nurses that help us do our jobs, because I guess sometimes we're not very good at saying thank you. So if there are any vet nurses out there, thank you.
Thank you for all the work that you do.
And all the support that you give us.
That's right. It's good to have you back in the studio, Alan.
It is. It's nice to be back. I've been away because we've been really busy. I haven't been away anywhere, but everyone else has.
Everyone else has, so you've just been holding down the fort.
That's right. And as now we're getting used to daylight savings time again, the warmer weather and longer hours of sunlight mean a few things for our pets and a lot more hair shedding all over the place. This week on Pets Aloud, we're going to cover off some important spring tips for your cats.
We've got quite a few things coming up, but we want to know if your cat now, do they enjoy being groomed? Is it a bit of a chore for you to do? But also coming up on the show today,
D-Sex in the City 2 booked out within 24 hours, so we look at the importance of desexing your feline friend.
If you're planning on going away as the weather gets warmer, we're going to look at holidaying with or maybe without your pets.
And getting out in the sun can have its benefits, but there are also some dangers as well, so we'll take a look at the potential issues with sun exposure for your pets.
And of course, as always on Pets Aloud, we'll have all your favourite segments, including dog dates and our pet of the week.
The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Every week we do like to feature some of the latest news and stuff that's been happening at the Lost Dogs Home in the last week. So, Alan, this week we met our finishing school.
That's right. This week we met the gorgeous Sparky in our finishing school program, who, try as he might, just didn't understand what everyone around him was saying. Many dogs, just like Sparky, arrive at the home with no prior training, and training a dog is much like teaching someone a new language. We must first explain the meaning of the word to the dog, check that they understand, before asking them to obey. Sparky was enrolled in the finishing school, and staff and volunteers from the Lost Dogs Home set about teaching him new commands using praise, treats, and toys. Meet Sparky and all our graduates at our North Melbourne shelter at 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne, and find them online at dogshome.com.
You can also find that video on our website and on our Facebook page as well, which actually help you teach your dog some more attention and focus as well, and show you the steps. We have some great finishing school videos that we put up there to sort of show you the steps on how to train these things that we're training the dogs at the shelter. Now, if you're on our website this Sunday, you'll also see the gorgeous story of a lovely little staffy named Rosie. Amelia wrote to us via Facebook to share an update on the gorgeous Rosie, who was adopted from our North Melbourne shelter in May this year. She writes, "When we saw Rosie, we knew she was a dog for us. She had this cute as a button face, big smile, and a lot of warmth in her personality, and she instantly rolled over for a big belly scratch. Since the day we brought her home, Rosie has been such a joy, and she instantly felt comfortable with her new surroundings. From the way her tail wagged excitedly as she ran to the front door, we knew that this was her home." Rosie was a lovely older dog. She's about 10 years old, I believe. Beautiful story, and there's some great photos coming up on our website and Facebook page as well, so you can check them out on Sunday is when they're coming up. So yes, the website is dogshome.com. Facebook, just search for The Lost Dogs Home. Coming up in the program today, we are going to be talking a little bit about desexing, some of the spring grooming tips for your cats. We're going to bust some desexing myths and look at some sort of holidaying with your pets as well.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Every week on Pets Allowed, we do like to feature a dog or cat in the limelight for our pet of the week. And this week, Alan, we have the gorgeous Cheese.
That's right. Graceful Cheese has the perfect combination of stunning good looks and a wonderful personality. She's inquisitive, intelligent, and very affectionate once she's gotten to know you and her environment. Cheese would be best suited to a quiet new home with no young children, as she can be easily startled by loud noises. Her new owners will also need to provide her with lots of TLC and gentle encouragement until she's confident in her new home. She's a two-year-old domestic shorthair cross cat. She's grey and torby, which is kind of a mix between tortoiseshell and tabby.
Yeah, this is something I hadn't heard of until I saw Cheese's profile, but torby, T-O-R-B-I-E. So, yeah, they said it was a mix of the tortoiseshell and tabby.
So she's very pretty. She's about 2 years old, like we say. Her animal ID number is 978997. She's available at the North Melbourne shelter, 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne. Or you can have a look at her at dogshome.com.
You can, and you can also see all of the dogs and cats we have up for adoption. We will talk about her again. We'll remind you at the end of the program.
G'day, this is Mike Larkin, Weather Guy, Channel 10. Best thing about being the weather presenter, you can be wrong and still get paid. But more importantly, we love listening to Pets Allowed every Fridays from noon.
All throughout the program today, we are talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. But we hope you will tune in and listen. We've got some spring tips, some grooming tips. We've got some stuff about going away on holiday with your pets. But right now, we're going to talk a little bit about de-sexing. So we've recently advertised our de-sex in the city 2 after the first one and our last event had 44 cats de-sexed in one night and over 100 privately owned cats de-sexed that same week. De-sex in the city 2 was booked out in just 24 hours. And this time, we offered the discount de-sexing rate to pension, healthcare and concession card holders only. So right now, Alan and I are going to have a bit of a chat about de-sexing and why it is so important.
Well, really, we're putting out the call to all cat owners to de-sex their cat immediately with their local vet ahead of the feline breeding season, which is really kind of already started.
Already,
we've got some kittens around. Because de-sexed cats are healthy and happy pets, de-sexed cats lead healthier and longer lives. Unde-sexed cats are more likely to roam and be exposed to dangers, including being hit by a car, getting into fights, infectious diseases, and contracting feline immunodeficiency virus, FIV. De-sexed cats are also more affectionate and better companions.
So, Alan, if we look at the numbers when it comes to cats, they can become fertile as early as 4 months of age, and sort of usually it's between 4 and 6 months,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
And a single female can have, on average, 3 litters a year.
Yeah, and 4 to 6 and that's kittens per litter.
That's a lot of cats.
And the first litter of kittens will be fertile by the end of that year.
Yep.
So chances are they'll have a litter as well.
Breeding as well.
So lots and lots of cats. Each year, the lost Dogs Home cares for more than 30,000 lost, abandoned, and surrendered cats and dogs, and around 80% of those animals aren't de-sexed. Community-wide de-sexing is really important to us. By reducing the number of cats being born, we hope to reduce the numbers admitted to our shelters and all shelters every year.
Now, working at the Lost Dogs Home and sort of looking at our social media and that kind of stuff, whenever we talk about de-sexing, we do sort of see quite a few myths coming up. And I mean, Ellen, you'd probably see this every time you have someone come into the clinic sometimes.
Not every time. I mean, I've got to say, the vast majority of clients are really quite sensible and supportive. Good. But yeah, you do get some.
Every so often.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're going to go through some of the de-sexing myths. I'm going to ask you to debunk them, Alan. Is that
all
okay?
Right. That's fine.
All right. So the first de-sexing myth, and it's often one that we hear a lot, is that it's healthy for females to have at least one litter.
It's basically just incorrect. In fact, most veterinary evidence would suggest that breeding your female dog or cat is more likely to cause her harm. An unspayed female is much more susceptible to diseases or tumours of the reproductive organs, mammary tumours, and not to mention, it's not infrequent that there are problems with the birth itself, unless you're an experienced owner, and you may end up having to pay for an expensive cesarean.
So
in
things
the middle
like
of the night.
Mammary tumors and that kind of stuff. That's more when they get a bit older.
Yeah, so,
but also pyometra is another one. Isn't
again,
it?
That's when they get older. But the best way to prevent those is to de-sex them when they're young. If you leave it until they're older, then you really don't get the same preventative effects.
Just a quick question with that one, Alan. In terms of age of de-sexing, is there sort of a recommended age for most pets, or is it sort of up to your vet?
In terms of preventing things like mammary tumours, it's best if you de-sex them before their first season,
yep.
And that reduces the risk to practically nil going up to de-sexing them up to the age of about two, there's still some protective effect, and over two, the effect is minimal. So really, the earlier the better.
Okay, so yeah, it's quite interesting. One other myth that we see is that the pet's personality will change, and that they'll become overweight and lazy.
Really, if your pet's personality does change in any way, it's generally for the better. They become calmer, easier to train, and will not suffer the frustration of constantly wanting to mate. As for the weight myth, no one gets fat without eating too much of the wrong foods or exercising too little. So the same applies to our pets. If you feed your pet an appropriate amount of quality food and regularly exercise them, they won't gain weight. And I think another thing is the age around which we traditionally de-sex animals mm-hmm. is the age when they sort of kind of
change
stop being
behavior.
Teenagers yeah. anyway. So yeah. they're growing up. So it's not actually the de-sexing. It's
just they're maturing, really. Yeah. And sort of with boy dogs as well, especially who tend to sort of pee everywhere and mark everything, that sort of reduces that behavior
it
as
does.
Well.
Yeah.
And humping is sort of...
It does, although...
Reduces it, but obviously humping is also a behavioral thing sometimes too.
So. Humping's often just a kind of...
Dominance
or you belong to me kind of thing.
Okay. A myth generally about male dogs or male pets is that I have a male pet, so I don't need to neuter them.
It might surprise you to know that the majority of dogs who end up at our shelters are intact, unneutered males. An intact male can get incredibly frustrated when the need to mate hits him, either resulting in him escaping or developing behavioral issues such as mounting to show dominance. Furthermore, neutering your male pet also helps prevent them getting diseases such as prostate problems or even testicular cancer.
So with sort of when a female comes in season, mm-hmm. the male dogs can smell that. And obviously yep. if they're entire, they're wanting to sort of get out.
Yes.
And I mean, we've seen a lot of cases with dogs escaping when there's thunderstorms and that kind of thing. It's kind of a very similar behavior, isn't it? They sort of have that, I just need to get out of this area and find a female. Yeah.
And they can smell it from kilometers away, I think.
Yeah, it's a
very,
pheromone
very strong,
for the
it's
air,
a very, so. Very strong urge.
Now, Alan, one of the ones we hear a lot as well is that it's not natural.
Dogs and cats are domesticated species, and most of their natural instincts went out the door when the grey wolf decided to hunt alongside humans. What isn't natural for a dog or cat is to prevent them from breeding when all their instincts are telling them they must.
Okay, so that's sort of, yeah, I guess they're in an unnatural situation anyway because we've domesticated them.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
The fact that, yeah, you're not letting them breed when they want to and yeah. their
so we
body
have
is
to
telling
take
them
responsibility
to.
For putting them in that situation.
One thing that comes up quite often, is the cost of de-sexing. So a lot of people think it's too expensive.
I think it's if you spread the cost out over the lifetime of your pet, it's really, really minimal. And I think when you decide to take on an animal, that should be one of the really basic things you think about before you take them in, because not de-sexing them is going to work out much more expensive in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to think about the sort of health effects that can happen with you talking about sort of the mammary tumours and pyometra, that kind of stuff, that surgery is going to get expensive
yep.
if that does happen, testicular cancer. Spaying and neutering is going to prolong their life slightly as well
yep.
because they're not at risk of that kind of thing. Think about costs if you do have an accidental litter of puppy
yeah.
or kittens.
Or the cost if they get out and
yeah.
get injured. So, you know, I can't stress enough that if you're considering getting an animal, that should be part of the basic package that you consider before you make that decision.
And look, thankfully, a lot of people these days are looking to adopt as yep. their first option. So most shelters and rescues,
have to de-sex animals before they can adopt them out.
So that's good. So at least you know that. And you know, considering the cost of adoption for us is, you know, $300, that's and your dog's already de-sexed, or your cat's, you know, for your cat's slightly cheaper, cat's already de-sexed at that stage. It's kind of good value for money as well, I think.
Very good point. It's
so
a bargain.
It is a bargain. Now, look, if you want more information on de-sexing or just about any of these sort of health and behavioural, so you can also always contact our shelter. You can find more information on our website, which is dogshome.com, or give our Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic a call on 03-9329-2755.
Uplifting. Informing. Empowering. Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Joy 94.9's General Manager, Conrad Brown. Joy has conducted surveys, interviews, and workshops to develop our new strategic plan. We've heard you, and the result is Our Voice, Our Vision, a plan to take us through to 2017 and beyond. And now we're inviting your feedback on the final draft of our strategic plan. Will it support Joy to thrive into the future? Is it representative of our diverse communities? Do the values align with yours? Together we can make Joy the best it can be. Download the plan and respond to the questions via the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Pets Allowed. Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long.
We've just been talking about de-sexing mostly in regards to dogs and cats. And look, Alan, whilst we're on the subject of cats, I have a couple of questions, okay? Mm-hmm. Recently had a cat come into my life. He's moved in with a new housemate. Her name is Charlie, I should say. And look, spring has sprung and so she's shedding a lot. There's a lot of more hair around the house than I'm used to. I mean, the dogs do shed as well, but I guess my question is this something we can expect? Yep. Is it just the season?
Cats, short-haired cats will shed hair all year round because hair grows in cycles and then dies off and falls out. But as the weather warms up, they lose more than grows, kind of thing. So yes, at this time of year, you get lots of hair around.
So they go through a bit of a molt.
They do. I'm very lucky. I have a black cat who spends most of his life on a black chair.
Okay, so you can't see the hair anyway.
No, and I just vacuum the black chair.
Well, Charlie's a ragdoll, so she's white, and yeah, you
see it everywhere.
See it
but that's
everywhere.
The way,
and little clumps around sometimes.
It doesn't matter
too.
What colour there is. They are. You always see it everywhere. That's cat hair.
So what can we do in terms of reducing the amount of shedding that sort of is happening?
Look, basically, it's a question of grooming them, and with most cats, that's... With short-haired cats, you probably just need to give them a brush a couple of times a week. Long-haired cats, you need to do it more often, not so much because they shed, but because they get tangled up and then it gets really difficult. And sometimes people have to bring them into the vets and have them sedated
to get rid of all the matting. Yeah.
So generally, just brush down your cat's back and tail. Try and keep an eye
away from their eyes,
eyes and
yep.
ears. Yep. Long hair on the back of their legs is where they tend to mat up, so make sure you do there. Give them a gentle brush underneath to remove any loose hair. They don't always enjoy it to start off with, so especially if you get them as a kitten, it's a good idea to get them used to it as a baby and make it a game,
yep.
and then it's fine. Otherwise, just keep it short, reward them with praise, make it part of smooching.
That's right.
And it's a good chance to just check them over generally.
Yeah, so you can sort of see if there's any sort of lumps or bumps you sort of find on the way. Now, Alan, we had a question in from Martha, who is in Edith Vale, and she's only had a cat recently. I think she adopted her last year sometime, mm-hmm. and she's noticed that there's been some fur balls being coughed up. What can she do?
They look like dead mice.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Basically, it's because the cat's molting a lot, like we say. So groom them as often as she can. You can get special food, which helps stop fur balls forming, or you can give them, you can get this stuff. It's called Catlax, or there are various brands of it. And it's flavored paraffin paste.
Okay.
So basically, it just softens up the fur balls and greases them through. And I think the food basically works in the same way. It's kind of coated with that stuff. So you can get that from pet shops or talk to your vet and they can give you some advice.
Right. Sounds rather interesting.
It is, yeah.
I haven't quite experienced a fur ball yet. So
I haven't.
I don't
it tends
know,
to be more
to
indoor
it.
Cats and I'm really lucky because my cat goes outside during the day and looks after himself. So
speaking of cats that go outside,
yes.
It's important to have a collar and a bell and also some identification as well. So make sure that you choose a collar that contains elastic, fasten it mm-hmm. so that you can fit two fingers comfortably between the neck and the collar. And a bell is preferable to help you prevent your cat from catching wildlife, because then at least the wildlife know that they're there. Now, also make sure that there are identification tags attached to the collar, including their council registration tag and a tag with your contact number in case the cats get lost. You can also check out more information on pet identification on our National Pet Register website, which is petregister.com.au. And you can also get some engraved tags as well.
Yes, and it's really good. Like, if your cat's going outside and it's got a really obvious tag on, it means your neighbours know who it is.
And they know it's someone's
so
cat.
Yeah, which is really good.
Not just a stray.
Yes. If your cat is spending time outdoors, it's a really good idea to get a cat flap so that they can get in and out of the house. However, no matter the season, it's always best to keep your cat in at night. This is a legal requirement for many council areas, apart from the fact that your cat will also be a lot happier in the warmth of your home at night rather than out getting into trouble. It's at night they're most likely to get into fights, go wandering, and attack or kill native wildlife. So Get a cat flap. But
keep them in at night. Yeah, bring them in. And that's a good time to feed them as well, so that they know to come in. That's good training for them to come in at that time.
Yeah. It's really good. Like my cat, who I've had for a year, he's really good at coming when he calls. And you just go out and call his name, and he's there within 2 minutes. And it's because we always do it with food.
Yeah, of course. So they're very food motivated. Now, you can find more information about this kind of stuff on our website, which is dogshome.com. Coming up, we're going to be talking about heading off on holidays, maybe with your pet or maybe without. As the weather gets warmer and Christmas time approaches, you may be starting to think about heading away. But do you leave your pets behind, or will they be heading off with you? We're going to take you through some of the things to consider no matter which way you decide. So, Alan, first off, if our pet is going to be staying home...
Well, probably the best thing is, well, obviously friends or family. Many people choose to leave their pet with a family member or a friend while on holiday. The pet may go and stay with this person in their home, or your friend or family member may move into your home, which would probably, I think, be better. Please make sure the person you choose is reliable and responsible and will enjoy spending time with your pet. It's always best that your pet's familiar with them and that you all meet up prior to going away to spend some time together so that you can go through all the important information and they just get to know each other.
Yeah, it's really good to sort of make sure that your pet is comfortable. And it's always sort of the best ways to have them at your house still so that they know what's going on. You can also get a pet sitter if you don't have a suitable friend or family member. You might want to consider a professional pet sitter. You can find them online or get a recommendation from someone. It is important to obviously meet up with them prior to going away, and most pet sitters will insist on this anyway. Check references, see if the sitter has a valid police check for the security of your pet and also your home as well, and provide them with your contact details and those of an emergency contact. Now, no matter which one you're doing, Alan, you should have a bit of a go-to guide.
That's right. So put together comprehensive and easy-to-read notes about your pet to leave with your sitter. Your notes should include information regarding your pet's diet, medication, routine, idiosyncrasies, favorite toys, your contact details while traveling, and an emergency contact number you've set up to be on call should your sitter be unable to visit your pet. Basically, write everything down. The more information you leave, the better.
And another option, if your pet is not coming with you, is to consider pet accommodation. But you do need to book these early, because usually they book up pretty fast. So if you're not going, if you're going away for more than just a long weekend, you can a kennel or a cattery are probably the best and safest options. Countless options. The best ones are usually those recommended by friends or by family. If you're searching online, make sure you consider unbiased reviews and information about kennels, and you may want to visit them first to request a tour before leaving on holidays. Now, if you can't stand to leave them behind and they're traveling with you, there's another few things to actually consider. First of all, will they enjoy the holiday as much as you do?
That's right. Research pet-friendly destinations and accommodations that will have plenty of opportunities for you to enjoy the holiday with your pet, such as, you know, parks, dog-friendly beaches, and all that kind of stuff. Keep in mind, cats feel much safer in a familiar place, so they're probably better suited to somewhere they know. Otherwise, it's best to leave them at home. I think with cats, it's fine to take them away, but you need to kind of have a routine. Some pets are much more anxious than others, so while you may want to take them with you, they may be happier left at home or somewhere secure like a boarding facility. It's really important to consider, will your pet really enjoy your holiday destination and will they be safe?
So another thing to remember is when you're looking at pet accommodation and sort of when you're traveling with your pet is to research and book in advance. So some places are advertised as pet friendly, do not accept pets during certain times of the year. It's important to consider that and make sure that they're aware that you're bringing your pet. Keep in mind that they might also have some restrictions on breeds and sizes. Have a list of questions handy. So where is the nearest park? Are they allowed indoors, outdoors? Will there be a kennel or a pen? And is there also an extra fee? But one thing also, Alan, is if you are taking your pet and also if you're leaving them behind, is to make sure their medical stuff is all up to date.
Right. You need to make sure your pet's vaccinations and worming are up to date, especially if they're going to mix with other dogs and cats. And things like, depending on where you're going, you might want to consider heartworm prevention and tick treatment. So there's all sorts of things to think about. It's a good idea to pack a first aid kit, especially if you're going camping. Make sure you take ample food, especially if they're fussy eaters, and make sure you've got water if you're going on a long journey. Prescribe medication, insect repellent treats, protections for sun and cold, and toys and games. It's important to take your pet's bed and any familiar easier things that will help them feel more settled.
Look, and no matter what you decide, whether you're taking them with you or you're leaving them at home, it is important to remember to identify, update and reunite. So make sure that they are identified with a microchip, the collar tag, and also registered with your local council. Make sure all their contact information is up to date. And if you're going on an extended holiday, consider changing or adding contact details to where you're staying, or include your mobile number, also an emergency contact number as well for someone who's not travelling with you. Now, we got a message in, Ellen. We got a message from Karen. She said her cat Lupin always coughs up fur balls in spring when he starts molting. She's given him the hairball type food and it's actually really helped and reduced that amount of fur balls.
It does. It works really well. I know that.
Not a coughed fur ball in sight.
Which is good.
Excellent. Coming up, we're going to be looking at some of the... when you're getting out and about in the sun, things to sort of consider with your pets.
Hi, this is Daryl Summers. We love listening to Pets Aloud every Friday from noon.
Now, when the weather warms up, we love to get out and about with our pets, and we're often reminded ourselves to slip, slop, and slap. But did you know that heat stroke and skin cancer is also a serious risk for our pets as well? This week on Pets Lab, we wanted to look at some ways we can protect our pets from the harsh Australian sun. So, Alan, you've recently compiled a bit of heat and sun tips, so we're going to go through those right now.
So, the first one is always ensure your pet has access to water, shade, and if possible, keep them indoors in air-conditioned environments on really hot days.
This also includes not keeping your pets in cars unattended, because cars heat up very, very quickly and the consequences can be quite devastating. And even just leaving them in the car for a brief period of time can be fatal.
Yes. Keep an eye on the weather forecast and try and stay at home or have someone at home with your pet to keep an eye on them, see how they're going. Have fresh cold water and shade available at all times. And like we say, bring them in if it's really warm.
Always walk your dog in the early morning or late evening so that you avoid the heat of the day. Look, if the ground is too hot, it can be quite painful for them on their pads of their paws as well.
White dogs and cats are especially susceptible to skin cancer. So again, keep them indoors or keep them in the shade on really sunny days, or you can apply pet sunscreen to their ears and noses if they're going to be out.
So, Alan, I wanted to talk a bit more on this last point, especially in regards to skin cancer and also how we can protect our pets from this, because I think it's something we haven't really talked about on Pets Lab before, but it's something that we do see come through the shelter and through the vets. I've seen a number of cats more than I have seen dogs.
It's really common in cats. Cats tend to get it on the tips of their ears and sort of across the bridge of their nose. And at first, it kind of just looks like sunburn in people. So it gets, with
red.
Their ears, it gets red and flaky. The hair disappears, so they're bald, which makes them more susceptible to damage. And then they just, like, the tips get sort of burnt away. The only real treatment is to remove it. So basically, we sort of amputate the ears and sew them up. And, you know, the cats look a bit different, but they're fine, and that generally controls it. When it happens on the nose, the surgery is a bit more painful and a bit more involved for cats, so it really is a good idea to try and prevent it if you can. We generally recommend that white cats that we adopt out are kept as indoor cats only,
and especially ones who, even if they're not all white all over, but also especially around their face if they're very fair on the tip of the nose and the tip of the ears as well.
Yes,
because cats love to sunbake, so they're quite susceptible to that. But dogs as well can be at risk of skin cancer, mostly on their bellies.
Yeah, dogs tend to lie on their backs in the sun. So, and they don't have hair on their bellies to protect it. So they tend to get it underneath. And again, it looks like a red flaky sore, I guess. And they'll often lick it and make it worse. They'll get a bit of dermatitis there as well. To diagnose it, you really have to do a biopsy. So remove part of it, or hopefully remove all of it and send it away. And at that stage, if it comes back all clear, then really it's just a case of keeping them out of the sun.
So obviously, just like with us, there are things that we can do to sort of help prevent the potential chance of these kind of cancers. And one of those is actually sunscreen, Alan.
That's right. There are some sunscreens created specifically for pets, but you can also use baby sunscreen. Most human sunscreens have ingestion warnings on them because the ingredients can be toxic if a child or dog eats them or licks them off. And as your pet is likely to lick it, look for a pet specific one. One thing to remember about sunscreen is you need to use plenty of it, and you should reapply regularly during sun exposure. It's recommended that you use at least 1 tablespoon for each body area treated?
That so, means? Yeah, it's kind of to make sure that there's a decent
that's
covering.
Dogs underneath. Yeah,
yeah, and especially around their belly. If it's the ears, obviously, you would use a tablespoon.
And you want to put it on every 4 to 6 hours during the brightest time of the day.
So that's usually sort of between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Yeah. And look, it's like, you know, it's kind of if you're going out for a walk, yeah, you should really apply it then. But also if you're taking your dog out to the park or to somewhere like the beach, especially during the really hot days, you should really be trying to do it early morning or sort of later in the evening.
But I guess, you know, you really need to think if you're taking your dog to the beach, they probably won't enjoy it when it's really hot.
That's right, because
the sand's really hot.
Yeah, it's like if you put your feet on the sand, you're not going to enjoy it around either.
So just be sensible.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Alan, for covering that off, because I think it's something quite important. And the reason we say baby sunscreen is because the products and the sort of components that make up the sunscreen are a little bit different to sort of what it is for adults and for older kids. And that it's usually less toxic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your baby is going to put their hand in their mouth at any stage and things like that. And that's why we sort of encourage that, just to be careful, really.
But you're probably best to talk to your vet or your pet shop and get something specific.
Absolutely. Now, coming up, we're going to be looking at the latest in dog dates, because there's a few things coming up this weekend.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
Now, this time in Frankston is the Frankston Pets Day Out. It is Ballon Park on Cranbourne Road in Frankston on Sunday, the 12th of October. It's between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. There is $25 microchipping with the National Pet Register, which you need to go onto petregister.com.au to register for that. There'll be some kids' workshops, kids' rides, animal farm, a dog obstacle course, face painting with Nine News, some stage entertainment, reptile display, plenty of entertainment and giveaways, and there may also be some guy doing some dog dancing. I don't know who that could possibly be.
Who could that be?
I have no idea. And also on the 12th is Williamsey Dog Day in Dogtown.
That's right, on the other side of the bay. So that's Sunday, October the 12th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Canine competitions, agility courses, pet parades and prizes. And that's at Commonwealth Reserve, Nelson Place, Williamstown.
Hey, Alan, piece of information for you. Did you know that Williamstown has the moniker, the name Dogtown?
No.
Do you know why it's called Dogtown?
No.
Apparently, like years ago, when the sort of the docks were in operation, they had a lot of stray dogs around because of the rats and the mice and all that kind of thing. So the dogs would often live around sort of the docks. And so Williamstown became known as Dogtown because they had a whole bunch of strays around there.
I didn't know that.
Bit of information that might come up in a trivia sometime, I suppose. Yeah. Now, Alan, our pet of the week this week was the lovely Cheese.
That's right. Cheese is kind of a very friendly but slightly shy cat. She's about 2 years old, grey Torby, and her ID number is 978997.
You can check her out on our website, which is dogshome.com, or come down to our North Melbourne shelter and visit her in person. Check out joy.org.au. Thank you to Alan for joining me in studio today.
Pleasure.
Oz, our producer, will be back from next week, and we're going to hear all about the sort of dogs that she met over while she was in Turkey. I hope at some point we will talk about that. But otherwise, don't forget to tune in next week, and remember to walk your dogs.
And pat your cats.
Pets Allowed.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.